We're getting you ready for the game on The Build Up with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, what's happening, everyone? How are we all doing? We are getting ready for the San Jose Sharks to take on the Tampa Bay Lightning. Of course, that is a 7 o'clock pregame and 7:30 go time from the tank as the Sharks are getting ready to take on the Lightning. Dan Ruzanowski and Drew Remenda on the call. Just some news that is coming out this morning. They have reassigned, the Sharks being they, Magnus Crona to the Barracuda, and Mackenzie Blackwood has been activated off injured reserve. Looks also tonight like Mackenzie Blackwood is going to get the start. Eklund is apparently being moved to the fourth line to play along with Carpenter and Hoffman. Third line will be Bortolo, Sturm, and Bailey. Second line, Zadina, Cunnan, and Barabanov. And first line, Kostin, Granny, and Zetterlund. Thrun is in instead of McDonald. So these are some of the storylines that we are looking at going into tonight's game. But really, you know, the Sharks just have to bounce back after a rough end to that road trip. They were up 2-1 or 2-0 against Chicago. Gave up 5 unanswered. Lost by a final of 5-2. They were up 2-1 against Nashville and then gave up 7 unanswered, losing by a final of 8-2. And that is not the way that they wanted to finish that road trip. They only scored more than 2 goals once on the entirety of that road trip. That was last Thursday when they were tied 3-3 with the Penguins, but then gave up 3 unanswered, including an empty netter. So just not a great road trip. Loss, 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 loss. 5 straight. And obviously, they have only had 1 win in the month of March, which on top of the lone 1 win they had in the month of February has made for a difficult stretch for the San Jose Sharks as of late. We are now going to check in with our good friend Nick Nolenberger, the voice of the San Jose Barracuda. Noli, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Life is good. We got a couple of days off in terms of no games. We've got 2 games this upcoming weekend. Both are afternoon games, which are always kind of fun. You get out and you get to see some sunshine after the game's over. So looking forward to that. But yeah, we're down to the final stretch. About a month left in the season, 13 games to go. Just trying to finish strong as a broadcaster. And I think as a team, a lot of these guys are trying to go into the offseason, whether this team pulls a rabbit out of their hat and they make the playoffs or not. They're trying to go into the offseason feeling good about themselves and really trying to set the table for next year. And for guys who aren't on contracts, you know, it's a big opportunity for them to make an impression, whether it's with the Sharks organization or 31 other organizations in the NHL and American Hockey League to earn a job next year. So lots to play for, despite the Barracuda finding themselves at the bottom of the division. But long answer short, I guess, is things are good and just enjoying this final stretch of games.
And I will point out that if you time things right, Saturday, the 2 p.m. start against Tucson, you can take that in, go over to the tank and watch the Sharks play the Hawks. And then you can turn it around, get a nice Sunday brunch in and go see the San Jose Barracuda in Tucson again at 3 p.m. on Sunday. So if I didn't also have an Earthquakes game going on, I would try and fit that full three-peat of hockey in San Jose for the weekend. So if you're a hockey fan, you have the potential to be busy, right?
Yeah, that's right. We'll forgive you. We know that you've got other obligations beyond just hockey, so we'll forgive you that you won't be at the Barracuda games as well. But yeah, it's always fun when it lines up schedule-wise. It used to happen a lot more when the Barracuda played out of the SAP Center just yeah. because of building availability. You had a lot of doubleheaders. Not quite as often it occurs nowadays just because now the Barracuda are kind of an entity on its own, so they're trying to sell tickets and not trying to compete with the big club. But it is cool when it works out. You've got an early game, you've got a night game, and you can try to hit both of them. So it could be a lot of fun. And, of course, with the Sharks, you've got a big star in Bedard coming into town for the first time. And for the Barracuda, you've got a very good two-side team coming into town. So it should be a fun full weekend of hockey here in San Jose.
Yeah, you know, I'm curious, you know, what the 30,000-foot view is on the Barracuda right now, obviously at the bottom of the Pacific, but still, you know, a lot of time left in the regular season.
Yeah, you know, it's gonna take a strong push. There's no question about it. At the end of the year, to get into the playoffs, 7 of the top 10 teams in the division make it. So that's a lot of teams, but it's also hard because there's a lot of teams. The Pacific Division is arguably the best and most balanced division in the AHL this year. There's a lot of good competitive teams that could certainly make a push in the playoffs. So it's gonna be a tough final month to try to get into the playoffs. But I think for this team at this point, they haven't given up hope. There's no question. They're still thriving to get into the postseason. But I think from an individual standpoint, I touched on it a little bit. The AHL, more than the NHL, a lot of these guys are on AHL, or excuse me, one-year deals, whether they're AHL deals or NHL deals. So they're playing for contracts. So there's a lot to play for. There's a lot to prove. When you finish at the bottom of the division, and right now the Barracuda, I think they're 31st out of 32 teams, so essentially at the bottom of the league as well, there's no guarantee you're going to get an opportunity the next year. So it's critically important to make an impression down the final stretch, play hard, and play with some pride as well. And I think this team has done that all year long, despite where they sit in terms of playoff positioning. They haven't wavered from their compete. That's been something that's been a highlight, I think, of this team, is they continue to work hard. They continue to battle. I think at times they've been outgunned, similar to the Sharks this year, where just they're out, matched in terms of talent. And that's because this is a Barracuda team that it's got some good veterans. It's got a lot of young players. This is a really young group. And I think as you look in the next couple of years, they're going to be much more competitive because there's some reinforcements coming in through the last couple of draft classes. So it's a work in progress with this team right now. The Barracuda played the San Diego Goals yesterday. The Goals and Ducks in a very similar situation, just like the Barracuda and the Sharks. They're going through a rebuild, and that doesn't equal a dominant AHL club. Often they are connected in the sense that when you're struggling at the NHL level and trying to stockpile talent, you're doing the same at the AHL level and trying to stockpile talent, get young players up to speed. So it doesn't always work where, hey, we must have lots of prospects in the system ready to go and ready to compete and be good AHLers because our NHL team is struggling. It doesn't always work like that. So it's about finishing strong for all these guys. It's about making an impression, and it's about going into the offseason feeling good about the season as a whole, even if this team can't get into the playoffs.
What is your take? Oh, sorry, continue.
Nope.
Oh, what was your take on, some people will say, okay, the Barracuda could have been better this year, but the Sharks poached a Ryan Carpenter, a Justin Bailey, two of the most prominent forwards. Now it looks like a Thomas Bortoleau is going to be up here for the rest of the year. Currently, Magnus Crona is up with the Sharks right now. How much do you think that plays into the narrative? And then also taking into account that after Radim Šimek really, settled in with the team and proved himself, he'd been named the captain, and then he gets traded. I mean, how much does that impact the season? Or does Jay Mack and, the rest of the guys not like to hear that talk?
Well, I think as a coaching staff and as a team, you can't use those things as excuses. What it has provided is maybe more opportunity for other guys because a guy like Justin Bailey or Ryan Carpenter have been in the NHL for most of the year. On the other side of the token, there's no question about it that they expected a guy like Carpenter to be on this team and be a veteran leader. Probably would have been the captain had he stuck around longer than he did. And for Justin Bailey, when he was with the Barracuda, he was a dominant player. He's a big, powerful guy who could skate really well. He was scoring a lot before he signed that NHL contract. So there's no question about it. And to be successful in the AHL, similar to the NHL level, is it's a younger league than it's ever been. You can only play a certain amount of veterans per night, depending on how many games they have played. So for a period of time, the Barracuda were sitting out a veteran every single game until the trade of Radim Šimek. Now they're at five players who have played over a certain amount of games. I believe it's 350 AHL games. You can also tie in European pro hockey as well. There's a limit to it. So the Barracuda are now a little bit more balanced in terms of guys don't have to sit out. But there's no question that the absence of a guy like Carpenter, a guy like Bailey, has impacted this team. And for the Barracuda also, they went in this year with some question marks at the goalie position too. And some question marks on the blue line. They're pretty young on the blue line, very young in the goalie room. You had a guy in Etu Makiniemi who was coming off a major injury. He's been pretty banged up the last couple of years, hasn't been able to have a full season of health. Came into the year, was still dealing with the recovery process, had another kind of nagging injury he dealt with, missed a month due to an illness. So he's had a lot on his plate in terms of his health. And then it leaves the options at Magnus Crona, a first-year player at the pro level, and Georgi Romanov, who is in his first season in North America. So that's a tall task. To ask those guys on a team that's young and inexperienced to win you hockey games. And I think the Barracuda have been impacted by that. There's been inconsistencies at all levels at the forward position. The D's really young, and it's grown and it's gotten better, but it's inexperienced. And the goalie position is probably the most inexperienced group of them all. So, you factor those three different things into it, it's going to impact your team and the results in the ice. I think that's been what the Barracuda have dealt with this year. youthfulness, injuries, recalls, all those things that factor in, and then just guys maybe being slotted a tier higher than they should have been because of those factors. So, you know, not to make excuses for the team. I don't think the coaches are making excuses. Don't think the players are, but, you know, there's no question these things impact results.
Magnus Crona has really impressed me since he's been up with the Sharks, and I know that he's been on the wrong end of some bad decisions, which I do not put at him. I mean, I'm sure there's some that he wants back, but for the overarching time, he's been really, really good. I'm curious, you know, because I know you're watching the Sharks game as well, whether you're at home or on NBC. Have you been impressed with Crona? Because he has just looked, I don't know, so composed to me. Like, that's the thing. It's like he's such a big body. He doesn't panic. You know, he looks like an NHL goalie.
Yeah, there's no question when you look at him physically, and I think that's why the Sharks traded for him a couple of years ago from Tampa Bay, was because he checked the boxes of that modern goalie. And that's a large, tall, athletic guy. And that's exactly what Magnus Crona is. He had a four-year college career, a very prolific career at the University of Denver, won a national championship there. So he's seasoned at that level. And I think that kind of set the table for him this year. But college and pro is a completely different animal. Guys shoot harder, guys skate faster. There's more traffic, more physicality. It's just a harder game to adjust to. And the goalie position, more so than any other, it just takes longer to get assimilated. And I think for Magnus Crona, there's been ups and downs to his season in the AHL. And I think that's why he's been so impressive at the NHL level, because he has went in with a sense of confidence. Doesn't seem too big for him, hasn't been overwhelmed. The results haven't necessarily been there. You look at the Ottawa game as his shining moment so far. But it's been encouraging to see him go up there and be able to be competitive and be confident. Because for a young goalie, depending on how things shake out, confidence is always a factor. And if confidence wavers, it's going to impact results and it's going to impact performance. So the fact that he's went out there and been so confident, I think, has been the most encouraging sight, because if you look at the numbers at the NHL level and the AHL level, they aren't overly sparkling, and that's going to happen to a young goalie. But I think for him, it's about checking boxes and checking experience boxes, gaining that confidence over time with success. And this taste he's getting in the NHL, I think, is only going to help him in the long term. So that's what's been so encouraging to me, is he's stepped in and been confident and been ready to play and perform. And for the Sharks, I think whether it's Magnus or anybody else in the net, you know, it's a tough and tall order to go in there and try to win a hockey game. So for the circumstance, I think he's done an outstanding job, and it's only going to help him down the road.
What are your thoughts of Thomas Bortolo as well? Because at times he makes some small mental lapses, but other times I really like his game. Ever since the Sharks first drafted him, I feel like he's got a heads up style about him. He's always positioned well. He receives the puck in a good area and, you know, looks like he knows where to go with the puck when he receives it. But sometimes he'll just, you know, instead of sending it to a guy, he'll poke it and turn it over and little things like that. And I feel like that's maybe what he's got to clean up the most. I'm just, you know, since you saw him so much this season with the Barracuda, what your thoughts have been with him with the Sharks?
It's interesting, because I did the game yesterday with Drew Remende. Drew mentioned that he's liked him a lot more in his game, a lot more in the NHL, which is interesting. And sometimes that's the way it works. If you ask guys, you know, the AHL is a very good league, very talented league, but it's not as crisp as the NHL. Passes aren't always right on the tape. Guys aren't always where they're supposed to be. So sometimes guys go to the NHL and they find it to be a little bit easier, not because the talent is less, but because guys are in the right spots and it's more of a crisp and precise game. So maybe that's what's helped Thomas so far up in the NHL with the Sharks. And, you know, he's had success. He's a guy that relies on confidence, much like many young players. He got confidence earlier this year when he went back up. He scored some goals. He's contributed. I think that's helped him out a lot. But the things you noted, I think he's continuing to evolve and trying to figure out what it takes to be a regular in an NHL lineup. The skill is there. There's no question about it. I think the hockey smarts are there as well. But we saw it yesterday or the other day when the Sharks were in Nashville and he got to be on the bench and take a pregame photo with his dad, who's a development coach for the Predators. You know, he's been groomed to play at this level. He's a lot more advanced, I think, than other guys are at his age because of the background that he has. His dad played in the NHL. His grandfather played in the NHL. So he's had a lot of high-end coaching from a very early age. That's helped him out in some other areas that maybe guys would struggle in early. But at the same time, he's not an overly physical guy. You know, when you play in college, I think you've got a lot more time and space. You aren't run into as much. You don't take as much abuse. And he's figured out that to be successful in the NHL, he's got to get his nose dirty from time to time. He's got to hold on to the puck maybe a hair longer than he would at other levels. He's got to maybe throw his body around a little bit. He's never going to be overly physical, but he's learning what it takes in terms of just the punishment to excel at the professional level. And that sometimes takes a while for guys. It's not fun to get beat up and banged up and not be dazzling and scoring goals all the time, producing offense. There's other elements to the game at the pro level. And I think he's learning that. And it's taken some time, as it does for a lot of young players. And hopefully for him, he continues to have success and he can continue to evolve those little areas of his game that'll help him stick in the NHL. But he's a great guy. He's a great kid with a great head on his shoulders. And I think with the confidence he's built and continues to build down this final stretch of the season, he's going to continue to open up some eyes on what he could be in the future for the Sharks.
Assuming you do not get poached by another NHL club in the offseason, it looks like there are going to be a lot of top-level prospects coming your way in the coming timeline. Is there relative excitement about that, or is it still like a focus on the here and now? Like, do these names, like with the acquisition of an Edstrom, or, you know, when we're going to see a Musty or a Will Smith, and, you know, who else is coming down the pipeline, do those names come up, or is it still just focused on the here and now?
I think those names come up for sure. I would be lying if they weren't. We're ways away from that. We'll see about a guy like Will Smith. What does his future look like? We may never see him in the AHL. That's a good thing for Sharks fans because that means he's ready to play up top. We'll see how things shake out. But I think there's no question there's a sense of excitement because there's reinforcements on the way. You know, with Mike Greer taking over a couple of years ago, he's had essentially two drafts, maybe one draft because he was hired just right before his first. And for Mike, he's made a lot of changes to this organization, changes that I think were necessary to get younger and get more prospects in the pipeline. But it takes a couple of years. Hockey is not like football where a guy steps in right away after getting drafted. It takes a couple of years, and that's what the organization is going through. And I think as early as next year, we'll see a lot of faces that should get Sharks fans excited. You mentioned a guy like Musty. He could potentially be in the mix. Edstrom, who they acquired in that Tomas Hertl trade. Bisted is likely to be in the AHL next year. He's a big center iceman that Sharks fans should get excited about. And as Mike Greer noted when he made that Tomas Hertl trade, it's hard to trade for centers. You've got to draft them most of the time. And the Sharks have some pretty exciting young centers in the pipeline that should join the Barracuda as early as next year. So I think there's a lot of excitement about what the future holds and the type of turn this team could make as early as next year and get fans excited about what the future holds. So there's no question the eye is to the future a little bit in terms of what could be on the way in terms of reinforcements for the Barracuda and for the Sharks as a whole.
Well, Noli, I will let you go because I know you've got a busy day as always, but I appreciate your time as always, and I'll be seeing you soon, all right?
All right, sounds good, Ted. Appreciate you having me.
Again, that is the voice of the San Jose Barracuda, Nick Nolenberger, joining us here on the Sharks Audio Network. In case you missed it, they are going to be playing this weekend, Saturday afternoon at 2 and Sunday afternoon at 3. Both of those games home against the Tucson Roadrunners. And I am very much excited for Bay Area hockey fans to be able to take in a potential of 3 games over the weekend. But looking most directly at tonight, I am hoping that Mackenzie Blackwood comes right in and picks up where he left off. In my opinion, he'd been having a great season with the Sharks, even if the numbers didn't always reflect it. I thought that his effort, his overall ability was always very, very nice to see. And I root for these guys, obviously. Mackenzie Blackwood has been a great dude for me all year long, and I want to see him have success. I want to see them all have success. But Mackenzie Blackwood seems like he's a part of the Sharks' future, and I would like to see him pick back up right where he left off. Again, tonight, the Sharks playing host to the Tampa Bay Lightning. The pregame starts at 7 and then go time at 7:30 with Dan Ruzanowski and Drew Remenda. Then I will see you all tomorrow morning starting at 7 on Morning Tide right here on the Sharks Audio Network. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found for download under Sharks Hockey Digest on iTunes, Google, and Spotify. And on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app, presented by Western Digital. All music by Yogi Yend.